Goeiemôre van my af ook en vir my is net so wonderlik vir oggend. Ek wil nie eers tyd vat om alles te herhaal nie because we're going to just be busy with what God has already said this morning. En wat die Here vir oggend al reeds gesê het is vir my net 'n wonderlike voorreg want ek het nou nie een van 'n slideshow vir oggend nie, maar I've written on the top of my notes for today, I've written down sinner come home, son come home. And if you've heard from the testimonies and from what God has invited us to this morning, ons is vanoggend 'n bietjie in Engels, so welkom aan al die Afrikaanse ouens ook. And it is for a specific reason and people that we have with us this morning. The essence of what God wants us to hear this morning has already been said. And I hope for us to see it clearly after the word as well. And then to be obedient to what where God is calling you. I think about two Sundays, maybe just a few things this morning. If you haven't listened to the sermon of last Sunday by Carlos, please download it. It's four basic pillars for your life to be discipled into the image of Christ. Please go and download it. Write those four principles down in the back of your Bible and remind yourself continuously of those four principles, please. Simple, excellent truth, boof, and it brings stability to your life if those four principles are just tested continuously. Lord, where am I? Because many times I've written to someone an email in this week. Many times in my life I find myself at a place where all I can do is, like Rian testified this morning, throw myself at the feet of God and say, Lord, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do, but you know. Speak to me, and I'll be obedient to that. And I want you to encourage that. And I think the other thing is just this morning is a very privileged morning for us in the way that we are, I don't know how many we are. If there's more that want to come, we've got a baptism straight after the service at Albie's house. So it's down this road, just before the provincial hospital to the right, second house on the right, just after the church. So ek wil julle uitnooi, those who want to have coffee here, please spend some time. Those that want to attend the baptism, we're leaving immediately after the service. But we are excited because that was the way in the New Testament that new believers showed the change that took place on the inside. They moved on their inside first before they were baptized. And we're going to talk about that move that takes place inside of us and where it positions us in Christ. Baptism displays our position in Christ, a new life, a new season in our life, a new place of authority, a new place of security and protection. So we are very excited with all the families and the friends and the individuals that comes this morning to be baptized, and we go there just after the service. Over the last few weeks, I see how many of us that has accepted Christ as our Savior become tired. We are ons is nou kan ek aan Afrikaans of 'n Engelse woord dink. Ons raak moeg, tired. It's not what I'm looking for. Ons raak baie keer desperaat. We don't know where to go. And so God has been talking to me about, we many times hear the word, and what God wants to say to us this morning is, what is the difference between sinner come home and son come home? What is the difference between, I want to repeat it, sinner come home and son come home? Because what I see in our lives, in short, if we have to go now, what I see is sons operate as sinners. The talk, the word puts it in a different way. Sons don't see them as sons and daughters, they see themselves as slaves. A sinner is a slave, a son is not. We need to see the difference and to receive the freedom that Christ brought for us. So hopefully, through the few scriptures that I'm going to read, so maybe this morning God wants to say to someone, sinner, come home. Maybe you are here this morning and you have not accepted Christ. Maybe we go through the sermon, because the focus this morning is not on sinner, come home, but what's the difference between sinner, come home and son, come home. this morning, God wants to say to sons and daughters, please come home. Stop being in between. Stop being distant and despondent. Please come home. God wants you home, not in the same place where you were before you accepted Christ. Because many times we find ourselves there. And it is our experience of life. And God wants to put truth to your experience. So maybe this morning there is someone here. And as we go through sinner come home, you've got to see what God saved you from. For the sons here this morning, sons and I'm not going to repeat sons and daughters all the time. Sons means daughters too, please. So if I say sons, if you don't know what you were saved from, you don't know what your identity is. You don't know what the thankfulness in your heart should be about. So listen if we speak to about sinner come home. And it's stuff that we know, but I see we tend to forget who we are in Christ. Will we just quickly, we know these scriptures, John 3, 16 and 17, I want to read. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus did not come to condemn you, but to save you. And we allow ourselves to live under condemnation continuously, even after we've accepted Christ. If you live under condemnation the whole time, you'll have no power to have victory over the sin that hassles you all the time. You need to understand and to see your position in Christ and that you are not condemned before Christ and before God the Father. You need to understand the Father heart for you. So this morning, maybe there is someone here that God invites. He says, I have sent my Son that you will have eternal life. Have faith in him for the price that he has paid in place of you that had to pay a price for your sin. I want to read for the sons in the house. I want to read in John 8. So quickly just turn to John 8. John 8 verse 34. I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family. Can I repeat that? For a slave has no permanent place in the family. And this is what we are struggling with. Is your place in Christ, in the family of Christ, permanent or not? Or do you go in and out of the family? One day you're a son, next day you're a slave again. I want to read a scripture and help us see how God thinks about it. Because it's not very important what you think. It is. But what you should see is what God sees. How God looks at it. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. A son belongs to it forever. What does forever mean? Is it forever or not? Where do we find ourselves when the going gets tough? So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's just stop there. So if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. And this morning I want to ask every believer here, so are you free or not? Are you a son and a daughter or not? Is it forever or not? And how do you think about yourself? Rian's testimony, he struggled with this thing. And we can just all come and stand with him, all of us, struggling with this from time to time, goes through these different seasons in our lives, where we see ourselves as a son and a daughter of God, and the next moment it's gone. We feel like rubbish, slimy before God, for different reasons. And this morning God wants to tell you that you are a permanent son and daughter. It's not in and out. There will be no stability in our lives. There will be no joy and no thankfulness in our lives if we see ourselves in and out all the time. It's not what the Bible teaches. God says, if you are a son, I've given you life and life eternity. Sy hou van grafieke want ons wil goed meet. So just this is, what I want to do is put a line up here and I want to say 100%. Do we agree that God's standard is 100%? Do we agree God can not be in the presence of sin? Do we know that the word teaches there's no small and big sin? All of them are sin. All of us has fallen short of the glory of God. None of us has made it. Not one of us here. All of us is short. Now we can argue, some of us see ourselves here and some here. I don't know, maybe some of us sees ourselves here. The thing is, if God's standard is 100%, the question is, if you have to, I don't know how the university works, but I think about 50% or something you have got to get your degree, 50%. How does the university see you when you get less than 50%? Is there any difference between 49 and 0? No difference. You won't get your degree. You won't get your degree. The same principle is true here. Whether you see yourself down here, or here, or here, wherever you are, you fall short of the glory of God. The question is, how do we cover this gap? Doesn't matter how big it is. If there's a gap, it needs to be covered. And the question is, how do we do that? So let's take for the argument at the moment, we say our lives, good deeds, bad deeds, does something like that in life. Sometimes we're better, sometimes we're worse. Let's make it 50%. The reality is, we have fallen short of the glory of God. Let's just read a few scriptures before we draw something else. Romans 3 verse 22. Let me quickly open there. Romans 3 verse 22. The Bible uses a term righteousness. It means right standing with God. If you want to take it to the courtroom, it means we stand before Him and we are not guilty. We are not guilty. Ons is vrygespreek. The English got another word. So let's read first here. Romans 3:22. The righteousness from God. The righteousness. Your right standing with God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Can I just repeat that? We've got to hear this. It implies something. It means you cannot do better and better things and think you can be in right standing with God. We know that. All of us has heard that. But what do? How do we live? So we know to be in right standing with God, we need to accept Jesus as our Savior and say, Lord, you've paid the price for all my sin. And when I stand before God, Jesus stands in the middle. He says, Father, He's okay. He has put His trust in me. Free to go. No condemnation, Romans 8. The Son has set me free and you are free indeed. He has given you eternal life. We know we need to do that. I will just maybe do a straight line. So for all of us, somewhere in life, we experience that. That moment, justification is the English. Justification, that's what it says. Afrikaans, vrygespreek. Somewhere, we accept Jesus. We accepted that cross and the work of the cross. We sang it this morning. I throw me at the feet of the cross where your blood has set me free. At this moment, my position in the eyes of God has moved from whether it was 80, 50, or 20. My position before God in terms of right standing moves to 100%. Not because I am, because Jesus has stood in my place and taken every sin of me away, past, present, and future. This is what the Word teaches us. And if we want to be in right standing with God, the Word teaches us there is no other way. There is no other way. So, does it mean my life has changed immediately, what I do here? And we know all of us, it's not. We're still sinning. there one that's not sinning? Huh? All of us still sins. But in the eyes of God, the way God looks at you, you are free, my son. You are home. You're not a slave anymore. You are a son. And a son forever. So I want to talk about this because so what happens here is John 16. John 16. Someone believes. Someone believes. You believe the message, the gospel of God. Justification in a moment. It happens in a moment. Some of us go through seasons, but somewhere in that season, we meet God face to face, and He cuts our heart. We hear the message, and our defenses drop. You don't work for it. In that moment, you are worked upon. Can I repeat that? It is not through any work that you do here that you are justified. It is you that are worked upon by the Spirit of God. And we are changed by receiving God's power and His Spirit inside of us. So this is coming, Romans 3 says, by faith. Nobody can read that, but it says faith. Your justification before God comes through faith. Nothing. You haven't worked for that faith. You were worked upon. And you saw Jesus for who He is. You accepted the message. And He changed your inside. That is what is happening to a sinner that comes home. Just one more scripture on a sinner that comes home. Will you quickly turn to Hebrews 10? I'm going to read there from verse 22. And this morning I trust Jesus and the Holy Spirit will cut our hearts that we see it clear and truly. Because we need to see it to walk in it. We need to see it to walk in it. Are we there? Hebrews 10, verse 14. By one sacrifice He has made perfect forever. Do you see forever? He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. Who has prayed this morning that the Spirit should testify in our hearts that we are sons of God? This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. Then He added, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there are no longer any sacrifice for sin. So we've got to hear, once this has happened, there's no more sacrifice needed. Onwards. It has been paid for fully. No more sacrifice. So you cannot do anything after this to add to it. Can I again say it? Because we hear it, but we don't believe it. You cannot do anything afterwards that can add to your 100% status in Christ. Nothing. Before you run and think of the heresy, we will continue. But you cannot add something to 100%. God sees you acceptable and in right standing before Him. Once we are justified before God, as ons vrygespreek staan voor God, dan begin daar iets anders in ons lewe. The Bible talks about sanctification, of the Afrikaans would be heiligmaking. And sons and daughters are there. That's what their life is about after they've been justified. Over here, we are called sinners. Over here, we are called sons. Not by works, but by faith. By faith, we move from being a sinner to a son. Now, what I see in my own life is, I've experienced this truly. Maybe I wrote a few things down about that experience of mine. I just want to read it quickly to you. I heard the word. In this week, I saw a meeting that is in town, I send the email, can I please attend it? Because the speaker at the meeting was the one that preached the message where I came to Christ. And then when I read his name, I got all emotional again because I experienced that moment again where I heard the message. As I've said, I could do no work in that moment. There was no work to be done. I was worked upon in that moment. My defenses were cut. I had walls all around me for many years to keep the love of God out of me. I don't know why, but I did that. Most of us do it. But that day, the message was preached. I saw Jesus as Lord, and I realized God is Father. That's what happens in that moment when our defenses is cut, and we hear the message. And in that moment, I experienced how the light of Jesus drove the darkness from my life. The darkness went away. And I moved from being, what I see in my own life, I've moved from insecure to a place of security. Onseker, onseker van alles in my leven. Nothing makes sense to me. And I've moved from a place of insecurity to a place of security. Because I saw God as a Father, a loving Father, that will not leave me nor forsake me. And obviously I've struggled with this security as I walk here. And maybe this is the essence of what this morning's message is about. Because what we do is we become sons, but we feel insecure as slaves or sinners. And we struggle. We struggle. And of the freedom that Jesus has promised us, so little is left. I want to read a scripture from Galatians. It's the last scriptures we're going to. Because it's not only you that struggles with that. Dis nie net ek en jy wat daarmee sukkel om die vryheid wat ons ontvang het aan te hou stap in dit nie. Ek moet sê, as ek nou miskien my lewe in 'n jare moet opdeel, daar kan julle ook van dit getuig. Sure, the first 4 or 5 years, there were true freedom. Ja man, ek het niks geweet nie. En dit was wonderlike tye in my lewe gewees. I was just obedient to where the Spirit led me. And it was beautiful times because I was free. But somewhere along the line, I started to do what I did here. When I find myself here down as a sinner, I thought to myself, I should do things better. I can't go on like this. I must be a little bit better. Let's change this and let's start doing this and doing this and work a bit harder at this. And we know through works we can never get there. And what I see in my own life is, I've realized it here, and somewhere along the line I get confused again. I want to work my way to be sanctified. Do you experience some of it, or is it only me? Quickly, we get to a place where we think, what should I do to be better in the eyes of God? How shall I live? How shall I operate and do to be better in the eyes of God? En ek sukkel weer presies met dieselfde ding as wat ek hiermee gesukkel het. En ek wil 'n skrif van my verduideliking sien, ek slaan nie julle hart in die Galasiërs skrif, ek gaan beter doen. Mag gou op by Galasiërs 3. Maybe I want to read a statement to you and then you must be ready for an answer. I'm going to ask you to answer the statement whether it's true or false. Trusting in what Christ did for me must be supplemented with what you can do for Christ. Can I read it again? No one has heard it. So I'll read it again. Trusting in what Christ did for me. This is what's happening here. Trusting in what Christ has done for me, the cross. Trusting in that must be supplemented with what I can do for Christ. True or false? Is it false? Yes, my eie vers. That's my eie vers. Trusting in what Christ did for me must be supplemented with what you can do for Christ. Let's read in Galatians 2:21. Paul answers it. Galatians 2, verse 21. He's writing to the Galatians. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Paul is speaking here as a son. He says, I am a son of God. I'm not going to put his grace aside and start with works again, because then Christ died for nothing. And I want to continue go back to verse 20. Read verse 20 with me as well. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith. This is as a reborn Christian, he says, I live by faith. Don't get back to works again. Don't get back to the law again. Don't work it out. Maybe I shouldn't use work it out, because it is used in the Bible somewhere else. It says, live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. So the actual part I want to read is in Galatians 3. Listen to you. Because just to see what's happening in Galatians, is they are struggling with this thing. Even Peter and some say James has taught them they have to do this. They must do this. If they don't do this, it's not good enough. And now he's writing to them. And listen what he says in Galatians 3. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 5. You foolish Galatians. You foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, or because you believe what you heard? He's talking here to Christians. He's talking to the church. He says, you have started in the Spirit. Now you want to finish in your own effort. And what I see about our tiredness and about our joy and our thankfulness that is lacking in life is exactly because of this. And sons and daughters should see that and open their eyes. God wants to open your eyes for that today, because it doesn't want you there. It doesn't want you in your own effort. It wants you at the same place that you have experienced here. And what you have experienced here, I don't know, was faith. He says, continue in faith. Don't continue in self-effort. Don't continue. Let's quickly make three statements from this passage. And then I want to give us practical advice. Verse 2. I just want to read verse 2 for you again. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing in what you heard? So what each one of us must hear this morning, whether we are a sinner or a son, there's a place where we receive the Spirit of God. Have you received the Spirit of God? And how did you receive it? He says, through faith, not by working for it. You can't work for it. It is by putting your faith. Acts 2 says, repent and be baptized, and you will receive two things, the forgiveness of sins and my Spirit. So this morning we need to know that there's a place where you receive the Spirit of God. So coming to Christ here, and this is very important for me. Coming to Christ here is not a mental change. It's not a change in position before God only. It is an internal change. And we must know, if that internal change has not taken place, we will continue in self-effort for the rest of our lives. we need to know the Spirit of God is in us, that we can continue by the power of the Spirit and not by our own effort. So the first thing that Paul reminds them of, you have received the Spirit. And have you received that Spirit, is the question this morning. Romans 8:9 says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. That's what Romans 8:9 teaches. If we do not have the Spirit, we do not belong to God. And we've got to say this to one another because we love one another. If we do not have the Spirit of God or not belong to Christ, we're going to stand one day before God and we will fall short of the glory of God. It is by receiving His Spirit that we are seen righteous and justified before God. Just the second point, where he says, he talks about the evidence of the Spirit. And I want to encourage you this morning. I think if there's one thing that helps me when I'm tired or when I'm moedeloos and when I'm te neergedruk, someone has to translate all of that, please. If there's one thing that pulls me from that, it is the evidence of the working of God in and around my life. His Spirit's presence, working, healing a knee, giving me a word of wisdom or knowledge, breaking up the word, answering a prayer. It's the evidence of God's Spirit working in my life that pulls me from that. He talks about miracles among you. He talks about a deep assurance in you that God is Father and Jesus is Lord. And then the biggest test of the Spirit in you is that there will be love amongst us. So there's three things that we can look for that the Spirit in your life, the Spirit of God in your life testifies about. Miracles. A deep assurance that God is Father and Jesus is Lord. That you're a son. That deep assurance all of us need. We can't go on with it. Without it. And the evidence of love. The question is, how do we receive the Spirit? How did you receive the Spirit, Colin? By faith, nah. By faith. In that moment of faith, we receive the Spirit. And what I want to encourage us this morning is for the sons, keep on relying on the Spirit. Keep on relying on the Spirit. I think that's the one key that I want to leave us with. That we lose our revelation as sons. I read something and this was just beautiful for me. Julle het seker al gehoor, ek weet nie hoe dit in Engels klink nie, maar daar's 'n ding wat ons sê, God help vir die wat homself help. Isn't it something we say very often? If we listen to what we're saying this morning, it's a lie. It's not true. God does not help you, if you help yourself. You're looking for self-effort. It's a lie that promotes self-effort. God does not help those who help themselves. God helps those that knows how dependent they are upon God and is obedient to His leading. It is him who is helped by God, not the one who helps himself. If you want to help yourself, I've got bad news for you. You're going to fail and you're going to get tired. Don't start in faith and continue in self-effort. We continue in faith. So just to close it down, justification, the Spirit is received by faith. Sanctification is received by faith, not by self-effort. What does it mean in practice? So I read something that I think of John Piper said it. He said, the essential mark of a son is not sanctification. Can I repeat it? The essential mark of a son is not sanctification. What is it then? The essential mark of a son is, who are you dependent upon? Do we see that? It's not sanctification. And we, many times, when we get despondent, it is because we are looking at sanctification as a measurement to know whether I'm a son or not. And God wants to say to you, you are a son because you depend upon me. That's the true mark of a son. Dependence upon Christ. Dependence upon His Spirit that is inside of us. So I want to close just with this practical help that I've read from someone's work as well. The first thing you have to remember is you've got to acknowledge your inability. That's what Rihanna's testified about this morning. If you want to have faith and God to help you, that's why you can't say God helps those who help themselves. You can't say that. So A is acknowledge. Acknowledge your inability. Okay? Acknowledge your inability. The second thing you do is you pray. You pray, you put your trust in God to help you with that. Pray for divine help. Secondly. Third, you trust APT. Dit amper is 'n patat, maar dit wou toe nie 'n patat wees nie. Pray. The second is we trust in God, not in ourselves. You put your trust in God. And then there's action. To obedience. And there we thank God. So if you want to know how that line looks of sanctification, this is basically it. It's not self-effort. It is to ask, to acknowledge your inability, to pray, to trust. There's action in obedience and to thank God for anything good that comes out. I want to close with this. If you are a son and a daughter of God, don't fall into self-effort to be sanctified. You continue. You started out in faith. Continue in faith. How does that faith look? Maybe this can help you. Acknowledge your inability. I cannot. Pray. It's exactly what Rian has testified this morning about. Pray to God. Trust in Him. He will act upon the obedience. What God leads him to, he will be obedient. And he will thank God. God is in control, doesn't matter what it looks like. Don't continue in self-effort. It tires us down. And if there's anyone this morning that has listened to what we have talked about, how to become a son of God, and you see, well, I've never been justified. Maybe this morning is a time for you to come to God and say, Lord, may you put your Spirit inside of me. I need and I want your Spirit in me. I can't continue in self-effort. If you walk out this morning here, I want you to remember, justification is by faith. Sanctification is by faith. Don't fall into self-effort. I want to invite you this week to walk in that freedom that you have received from Christ. And as we close with this last song, I really just believe that God wants this morning for you to acknowledge your need for Him to touch you in one of these two areas. To touch you, to walk in a place of son and daughter. To touch you, to walk away from being a sinner in the eyes of God and to be justified before Him. Let's stand and sing that last song together.